Love you all. Seen a lot of you over the years, and it's been marvellous. And because I haven't got Joan with me now, but she's the sweetest little angel in heaven. Yeah. I've had to write out notes because my memorizer's not as good as it used to be. What I want to share today is grace. How about that? Hallelujah. Hey. Well, you know, God's love, God's caring, God's ways, even when you don't know him, how wonderful he is. So I'll start with that. There was a character that got a bit booting around over this weekend called Paddy. You know, you heard about him? Yeah. Well, he had to repent and testify at his daughter's wedding. And the priest got up and said, who's going to give the bride away? And Paddy gets up and he says, I don't give much away, they say, so I will give the bride away. That's all. So he repented, you see. I go back to the beginning. I had a praying mother. Praying mothers are wonderful. She had a rebellious son, so I guess she had to do a lot of praying. I met Joan at the age of 19, and as soon as I saw her, I didn't know her name, but I knew she was for me. She told me later, I saw you and I knew you were for me. So my mates and I knew a lot of girls. So one Saturday, one of my mates said, let's take a couple of girls to a dance tonight. And he said, I'd like to take Doris. So we went round to Doris's place and Doris said, yes, I'll go, that's great. Doris was a marvellous dancer. And I said to Doris, that girl that lives up there, how about her? And she said, Joan, oh, I'll go and see. So we stood and watched as Doris raced up the front steps, opened the front door and burst in. And Joan revealed it to me later, how she burst in calling out, Joan, Joan, we're going to a dance tonight, and I've got a wonderful dancer for you. He's just the best. And Joan was as good a dancer as Doris. And so in those days, we didn't have motor cars to go out. The girls, you'd go out with the girls in a tram, and they always dressed in long evening dresses, and they always looked just immaculate and smelt just immaculate. And so we took a tram to town, a ferry boat to Devonport, a bus to Milford, and the dance at the pirate ship. The music started and everyone got up to dance except Joan and me. So I thought I'd better tell them. So I said, I can't dance. I thought, I'll let that sink in for a minute. And then I said, I really can't dance. But you get up and have a good time, and I'll just listen to the music. So she had every dance, and she looked so great as she danced past me and ballroom dancing, you see. And I enjoyed just listening to the music. So the home journey, or came to the last dance, and she grabbed my arm and she said, come on, I'll teach you. So I trod all over her feet. Then we did the return journey home, and I thought, well, she'll never want to look at me again. But I took a deep breath and said, will you come out with me next Saturday? And she said, yes. What a shock. Yeah. Oh, dear. So I pecked her on the cheek and I danced home. And from there on, for 3 years, we went together before marriage, and we had three children, and where do I go from there? Yes. In 1975, I thought I was doing everything myself. I didn't need God. Joan was a prayer, but she didn't let me know. She just prayed for me every day. And I'd have raised the roof, of course, if I'd known. But however, in 1975, I crashed with a serious heart attack. So I was carted off and put into intensive care. Joan sent a cable over to our youngest son, David, who was surfing over the Sunshine Coast somewhere in Australia. And our daughter also sent him a cable. And I want to come, you see, now to the point where God moves in his wonderful, wonderful ways. David didn't get those cables. He was actually in Brisbane awaiting a flight home. He had met somebody over there who had a dog in Auckland, and they offered to pay his fare home if he would send the dog back over to them. And I was lying wired up in the intensive care, and I sensed someone was standing beside me, and I opened my eyes, and there was David. God had sent him home to be with his mum. My daughter was married and had a family. My son, other son, was married and had his family. Joan would have been on her own, but God brought him home. Not only that, he came home a born-again Christian. And at night he'd go outside and I'd say to Joan, "That's my son out there talking to the fairies. What's going on?" And she'd say, "Leave him alone." They told me that I had to have this operation. It was serious, that I just had to go through this operation. And now this is 1975 and they weren't as proficient as today. So they sent me home to prepare myself for the surgery. And David, now being a Christian, went off to church the next Sunday, and the minister didn't know him, the minister didn't know we even existed, but God did. And as he was leaving the church, the minister handed him a paperback book to read. He brought it home, gave it to Joan. Joan got into this book and discovered it was a book on divine healing. Isn't God good? I mean, all these little things that sound so little are so big. And Joan now was learning about divine healing. She read that book through. Later, we were sitting at home dejected, and she had the local paper in front of her, and she reached out and she picked it up, and she opened it up, and the only thing she saw was a little advertisement headed Divine Healing Service, Walk with Presbyterian Church, the 30th of September. That very night, God was on time. So, isn't it beautiful? And you can't miss, hey, with a God like that. Because I didn't believe anyhow, but she said, read it out and asked me to go. And I said, okay, I'd hit the rock bottom of the barrel. And so there was a little packed church, and ministry began. And Joan grabbed me by the arm and dragged me down the front. And the visiting minister put his hands on my head and began to pray, and I thought, this is stupid. And anyhow, this heat began to well up inside me. Didn't know what it was, but I was glowing. I went back to my seat, and I was virtually glowing, and my heart started to do a few flips and turns. I thought I was going to die. But I looked around for help, but, you know, all these silly people, they had their eyes closed and their heads bowed. And I thought, oh, same thing to Joan, she'll just cause a disturbance for sure. So The meeting ended and everyone was offered to go over and have a cup of tea before they went home. We went outside and Joan said, "Will we go in?" And I said, "No, I've got nothing in common with this lot." What a statement, eh? So going home in the car, she didn't see any results. So she asked, "Did you feel anything?" And I said, "I got hot." And she burst into life. "You've been healed, you've been healed. That's the power of God. I read it in the book. It's what it said in the book." And she kept going. She was really excited. And I thought, that had to be God. There's no other answer. And I cried, and I cried, and I cried all the way home. We lived in Oriwa, and all the way home I cried. When I got into the house, I went, got my medication, and I threw it all out. And I got on my knees, and I called out, "God, if you love me that much, I'll love you too. I'll just do anything you want. I just love you." And Joan was standing there saying, "I want what he's got." So that was it. I was born again. And my way. But I went to the hospital the next day and I got a couple of doctors in charge of my case. One of them was a cousin of Joan's. And I told them that God had healed me. I didn't need any operation now. I absolutely believed at what Joan said, what she'd read in the book. I absolutely took it to heart and believed it, and that was it. And so he just said, "Well, if you don't have this operation, you're a dead man." And I've got to settle down a bit. So we got a couple of Catherine Kuhlman books in our hand. We didn't know who she was or anything about it, but on reading those, I discovered God was over there. So I wanted to be where he was, you see. So we went off to the Shrine Auditorium the 8th of December, 1975, waiting out there, I had a bad back. God should have healed the whole darn lot while he was about it. But he didn't. And standing there on concrete and amongst thousands of people, my back was giving me blazes. So how was I going to sit down? I needed a soft seat. I needed to lie down. I needed something. And how was I going to get out of this crowd? And a lady came pushing her way through, worming her way through all the crowd, and she came and stood in front of us and she said, "Where are you from?" "New Zealand." "And have you come all this way specially for this?" "Yes." "Follow me." And she pushed her way through all the crowd with us behind her and around to the side door, spoke to an usher, and he took us in and I sank down into a soft seat. Hey. Out there with the thousands of people, and here I am, sitting on a soft seat. Isn't God wonderful, eh? This choir was up there rehearsing, singing a song, "There's Nothing Impossible When You Put Your Trust in God." And this was all new. So it was really a wonderful time. Then I come to a point in life where Joan had an aneurysm and she had to have surgery, and during that surgery she had 3 strokes. So she lost her memory, she went deaf, and she had a shocking bladder like you'd never want to know. But I nursed her and looked after her, and when I brought her home it was like she'd never been in the house before. And it was all strange. However, I managed to do the cooking and everything like that. I had to get home help once a week. A lady, Pauline, came twice. And then they sent me a lady permanent. I didn't see much of Pauline. I meet her a couple of years later in the shopping mall, and we'd just say g'day. And a couple of years later, I'd meet her and say g'day. I was in Woolworths shopping one day, and she came over and she said, I've got cancer. I'm having an operation in May. I said, oh, I'm sorry. Can I pray for you? So there in the shopping mall, I laid hands on her and prayed for her and said I'd pray for her every day, and particularly on the 6th of May. And that was that. I was back in Woolworths shopping in August, and I'm in the line, queue out line, pay, and Pauline comes racing over, calling out, you healed me, you healed me, you healed me. And I stepped out of the line and I said, what's this? She said, I'm healed. I had the operation and the cancer was gone. And I said, well, we'd better give thanks to the Lord, hadn't we? So I held her hands and gave thanks to Jesus. And then I said, now you know Jesus is real. You'll need him in your heart, won't you? Yes. So, okay, she, there in the Woolworths supermarket, she accepted Christ into her heart. And so I didn't see much of Pauline. I got a phone number and I was able to follow her up on phone. And it would only have been a couple of years after that that I met her in Woolworths again. And she came over and she said, I'm so well, I haven't seen a doctor in 2 years. And I saw her last year again in Woolworths. But, you know, I ring her up occasionally, but she's a very busy person. And it was my turn to get sick. I don't know. I've just got a little bit of a chest pain now. And I know it's kind of tension. And I guess it was tension then. And I ended up in the hospital. And I was put into a room with three other men. And I started to tell them that I knew Jesus and Jesus was the answer. But they didn't want to know anything about it because they had heart problems. Because they thought I had a heart problem, they put me in the same room. And so they weren't going to listen to me talk about Jesus healing hearts. I had to forget that. And that night, I was fine through the day. I was as good as anything. Could have gone home. But Jesus didn't want me home. About 1 o'clock in the morning, suddenly I got these heart pains. Terrific. Terrific. I sat up, pressed the bell, held my chest, and I was calling, Jesus, 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 Jesus. The nurse came and she said, there isn't a doctor on hand. And she walked away. I just kept up, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I was suffering, Jesus, Jesus. She came several times just to look at me and go away. I don't know, I must have gone to sleep. And in the morning, when I woke up, the man opposite me said, hey, Bob, I was so worried about you last night. I prayed for you. I've never prayed in my life. I hope he heard. And I said, thanks, Doug. He heard all right. So after breakfast, I got out of bed and I went over and I said, will you come for a walk with me, Doug? So he got out and we walked down the passage. I was looking for an empty room. I didn't want any disturbances, so I found an empty room and I explained all about salvation and born again and everything, and he received Jesus. And, and was born again and changed. He really looked at it. And I was discharged the next day, and but told I had to come up the following day to get a prescription because they didn't have it. So when I went the next day, there was no parking. Every parking place was taken. The only one empty was a no parking sign. So what did I do? I had to get parked. So I parked, and I thought, I'll rip up, get the prescription, rip down again. But while I was up there, I thought, I must look into the room I was in. So I went and stood in the doorway, and Doug was over by the window with a lot of visitors around him, so he didn't see me. But I looked at the man nearest the door, and he looked at me and burst into tears. So I went in and I knelt down on the floor beside him, and I put my arm around him, and all I could do was say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And he was just sobbing away. And then I thought, how it gets in the road. The car. Oh, the car. So I stood up, and then Doug spotted me. Bob! I waved, the car. And I took off. I was a bit upset after. But I guess I might have done the job that God wanted me to do, but there was nothing wrong with the car. And I could have spent more time with this poor guy that was weeping. And this just shows you as the leading of God, you know. I love these stories because I know God opened the way. Another time I had these heart pains and I was shot off into the hospital. I had to get dressed. I had to get Joan dressed. I had to ring someone to come and look after Joan. And then I had to ring 111. And so the ambulance took me to the hospital. By the time I got there, I always had my Bible with me. And by the time I got there, I had no pains. I was fine. And they'd push me into where they wheel you and deal with you for about 7 hours before. And I had all the tests and everything, and there was nothing wrong. Where the doctor said, well, you know, there's nothing wrong with you. You're fine. And I thought, well, what am I here for? If there's nothing wrong with him, what am I here for? And I heard them say, we won't put Mr. Leach into a ward. Oh, I'm going home. That's great. And my heart stopped. Yeah, I didn't know, but my heart stopped. And there was panic. It started on its own. And there was panic stations, doctors all around. And one of them was saying, one or two seconds is long enough, but yours was 8 seconds. Yours was 8 seconds. Too long. They shot me round to the intensive care. Now, why did my heart stop? I was all right. And I was saying, what's going on, Lord? And the night nurse came on duty, and she said, is that the Bible you're reading? I said, yes. And she pulled her rosary beads out from around her neck, and she said, I use these for my protection. Not good enough, dear. Just not good enough. Come around here, I want to talk to you. So she came around and sat down, and I gave her a lesson on being born again and accepting Christ. And so she wanted that, and she accepted the Lord. And the doctors came the next morning and said, we're going to put you on a treadmill, and that will determine whether you go home or not. So they sucked me on a treadmill, and they switched it off after 10 minutes and everything was fine. So I was sent home. Later on, this nurse brought her husband round to get Jesus. It was lovely, eh? So why did I get that ache? Why did I go to the hospital and my heart stopped? Because God had the nurse in mind. Yeah, I could go on with a whole lot. Can I spend a little more? Yeah. Yeah, it's on the tract that Len had printed. Joan got sick this night with terrible pains, and I took her to the hospital, and she was there for a couple of nights, and they were doing all kinds of funny things to her, and she even went out of her mind at one time, and I was really upset, and I was calling out to the Lord, what are they doing, or what are they giving my little girl to cause all this? And then they said to me, we'll be putting her down into rehabilitation. And then they changed their mind the next day, and they said, no, we'll take her to Waitakere Hospital, your hospital, and she can go through rehabilitation there. Now, God moves in mysterious ways, doesn't he? So Joan was put in a room with two beds. The next day, another lady occupied that bed. So when they were finished with her, I said to Joan, I'm going to go and have a talk with her. So I went over and I asked her name, and she said, June Rose. And I said, oh, what a pretty name, June Rose, what a pretty name. She was in her 70s and she had cancer. And she'd lost her husband some years before. And asked if I could pray for her. And she said, yes. So I prayed for her. And then I said, can I read to you from the Bible? Yes. So I got the Bible and I read John 3 and explained it all. And then she said, I want that. So she joined hands with me and said the sinner's prayer and gave her heart to the Lord. And she looked up at me and said, of all the people I have met, I was meant to meet you. And I was so deeply touched. Joan had Parkinson's disease, just one other thing that had crept up on her in the years. And I went back to Joan, and Joan was healed of Parkinson's disease. All the shaking had stopped and everything, and she went to heaven without Parkinson's disease.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, one more. I don't like holding this. I had a radio band way back in the 1948s and early 50s, 14-piece radio band I was the leader of. And we got a 4-month contract to put in a 14-piece dance band, and we had to be auditioned, and we had to be auditioned on our own arrangements for the band. So every year I would get a 4-month contract to put in a band, and when my contract ended, another musician would take over and put in his band, but I was always the lead trumpet in the band, so I was in the radio all the time. And a man in our church 20 months ago rang me up one day and he said, Bob, I've got a cassette tape of your radio band here, 1948. I'll meet you down in the shopping mall and I'll give it to you. We'll have a cup of coffee. Right. So we got our cups of coffee and we were on the outside table where people walking both ways past you. And he put the tape down on the table and he said, Ray Gunter sounds good on this tape. And with all the people walking past this way and that way, from out of this crowd comes a voice over the top. Did I hear someone say Ray Gunter? And I looked up, yes. And he sat down and he said, how did you know Ray Gunter? Well, I said, Ray Gunter's on this tape, 1948. And he said, you'd know my dad. Lou Johnson. I said, yeah, I know Lou. But I said, I haven't seen him in 60 years. Well, he said he's a good guy. How about going and seeing him? Lou plays piano. And so Joan and I took my trumpet and we visited Lou and we had a couple of hours playing all the old tunes, you know, like Somewhere Over the Rainbow and all those old dance tunes. And we had a good time. Then we sat around a cup of tea and I led him to Jesus. And Lou now comes to the full gospel at our chapter and plays piano and I play trumpet. And we have a jazz time to begin with. And then after the meal, of course, we play the worship songs. Yeah. So I just want, those are songs and those are stories, and I've got a lot more, how God opens the doors and does it his way. And if you're on the spot, you're there to do it. Yeah. And I can go through the Lynn Mall Shopping Centre and ask the Lord, who am I going to talk to today, Lord? Who am I going to talk to today? And he'll show me. Sometimes he won't show me, and I go and talk to people anyhow. And I'm not very popular at that one. But when I know he's directing me, I get people saved. And it's just so, that's how I spend my time. Bless you.
Bless you, Bob. Thank you.